Okay, welcome to the Semi-Balanced Podcast. Welcome to the Semi-Balanced Podcast. This is Julie. And I have with me Gina Boiser-Fortain. Am I saying that correctly? She is the author of You Are a Supermom. She is a single mom of three. She is all about mom's wellness. I'm going to introduce her. Hi, Gina. How are you?
Hi, Julie. I am doing great. Thank you.
Okay, great. So this past week you had a book launch. Would you like to talk about it?
Yeah, so I launched the book on Tuesday, September 21st. So recording, it's just 5 days ago, and I'm kind of coming off that rush of it's almost like giving birth. And I started writing the book in May of 2020, right in the midst of lockdown and the pandemic. And it covers the whole span of me being a mother, but I, you know, experiencing lockdown with teenagers at home was particularly stressful, and add to that teenagers that have experienced trauma. And I want to get into detail in the book, but I've heard the term trauma mama that's floating around, that mothers of children who have gone through traumatic experiences, and my oldest son was physically abused by his father, which is why I'm no longer with him. And they have it, you know, children that have undergone trauma, they have different responses to stressors in life. And I mean, experiencing a pandemic and being a teenager in lockdown, not able to go see your friends is, you know, one of those triggering type of episodes. So I, you know, my hope with this book is my mother tells me that she can't believe I've put my dirty laundry out for everybody to see. But in my opinion, it's more about vulnerability and saying, you know what, it's okay to have dark spots in your life. And as a mother, it's not all just giggles and laughter, cuddling it, and sweetness. There's a lot of tough stuff. And I want to normalize that for moms, because I, you know, look at any social media feed and you see the vacations, the birthdays, the first day of school. And these are all beautiful and wonderful things. And yet there's the life experience. And You Are a Supermom, I define the word fullness. And to me, the word fullness is living in the whole experience of who you are, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, all of it. And when we can finally do that, that's when we can, you know, be our full expression in the world. And I'm sure your listeners are all very familiar with the law of attraction.
Yes.
And you know, what you have to get back in. And I have some difficulties with some of those principles. And number one, the feeling like I always have to raise the vibe. Well, some days you're just not, and you have to learn. And my experience and interpretation, this comes from Matt Kahn, who's a spiritual teacher, writer of the book Whatever Arises, love that. He explains it differently, and this really resonated with me. But when you are, you know, feeling sad or feeling angry, you don't have to love that. But you do need to embrace yourself in that sadness, embrace yourself in that anger, and know that it's okay. And I used to feel like, oh, I can't be sad. Oh, I can't be angry. I better dance or drum or do something to raise the vibe. And that to me is being inauthentic, saying, oh, these emotions are bad. I have to go to the good emotions. But can we experience the whole range of emotions and not love the emotion, but love yourself in the process of experiencing that emotion? Because I think in my past, I would self-sabotage and say, oh man, you know, I'm trying so hard to be the enlightened yogi for 27 years. And I lost my temper with my kids again. Now it's time to, you know, whatever, you know, self-bashing mechanism it might be. There's a dog speaking in the background. And I just find that when I've allowed myself to have the full experience of my emotions and just let it be okay that today's I'm not in a high vibe mode, and just allow that it tends to pass quicker.
It does when you accept it.
And then I've experienced it, felt it, and allowed it. Mm-hmm.
It's through the dark that we grow. So, I mean, we have to embrace that to heal, to get out of our comfort zone. I mean, if we stay in our comfort zone, we're going to be same old our whole life. So, you know, we have to grow and learn. So that's fantastic. That sounds great. I was not sure what your book was about. I mean, I knew the title and everything. This is amazing. This is more than amazing because there's so many moms out there, and especially with the pandemic and the lockdown, how much kids suffered by staying in and no, you can't go see your friends and this. And there was just a lot of disconnect between families where I think this is going to come in handy to a lot of moms. So bravo. I'm very excited for this book.
Yeah. Thank you. And there are some reviews on Amazon if you go to the You Are a Supermom page. And I'm deeply touched because my mission seems to, based on the reading, seems to fulfill that. It wasn't my goal to put out yet another parenting guidebook. Like, here's how you have to do it. It's more of letting moms know that you are enough and how you're doing it is just right. Because what I've found, and I've been a parent for 18 years now, I have found that it's more about just accepting and loving our children as they, all of us have, you know, our soul's path. And I mean, when my son started going off the path of what you want your child, he dropped out of school, he got into trouble with the law, was doing drugs. No parent wants that.
No parent wants
for their child. And yet all the controlling mechanisms that I implemented, the punishing, the taking things away, it didn't solve the problem until I finally got right with myself. And as I became more peaceful, as I embraced myself, it started to change the vibe of, you know, previously where it was, I was having temper tantrums and yelling at my son and we were fighting and the other two kids were just sitting there, you know, in the midst of it all. So, you know, there's the saying that if mama's not happy, nobody is. It really is true because our heart vibration, if you're the Heart Institute, they have done lots of research to show that our, you know, the frequency that we emit is much more powerful than, you know, even, you know, our brain and the brain waves. And so getting to that place where your peace tends to, and it doesn't always work it because your kids are going to be your kids, but even in their complaining, even in their, the way they roll their eyes at you when they're teenagers, you're still in your peace. And not taking things personally. And that was a big learning for me. I just thought, oh, my kids hate me and I'm doing it all wrong, and I'm not a good mom. And in fact, the original title of my book was, it was not "You Are a Super Mom." It was "I Am Not a Super Mom." And it was sort of my acknowledgement that I'm not living up to the standard of what society has set forth for motherhood. And I received criticism from family members on how I, you know, not a good mom. And yet professionals, counselors have reinforced, "You're doing a great job. Like, you've never given up on your kids, even in the hardest of moments." So when I was talking to my publisher, and she was like, "You know, we need to eliminate the negative from the title, because, you know, the word 'not,' just, people don't want to say that." And so the title evolved to "You Are a Super Mom." And it really was when I read the first edit and I read the book cover to cover, and I said, "Wow, who is this amazing woman? And how did she do all this?" And that was me. And I realized that not only am I a super mom, but there are millions of super moms across the globe that just going through what we went through for 18 months of having our kids at home and juggling and balancing work and relationships and pets and home improvement projects. And it's, to me, it's not natural to have your children always with you. And somehow we weathered it. And, you know, even though you go to Facebook or wherever, and you saw all the, you know, "Look at this art project we did, and look at this, you know, happy, or we baked bread today." I know that behind closed doors, it wasn't all. If you had all happy, joy.
Yeah. No.
I'm so happy for you. But I think most families didn't have that experience. And I think throughout it all, I felt comfortable sharing my journey, because I knew if I shared my experience, there's probably at least one person out there who is also experiencing something like that. And they might, and I have had people reach out to me. So I'm going to mute myself for just one second.
Okay. It's okay. Dogs happen. Are you back? Are you back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, I'm in agreement. And I think there's a lot more than just one person out there that has experienced the same situation. There's many people, even though, you know, social media is plastered with, "Oh yeah, look what we did," and "Oh my God," you know, we all know that behind that there's always something. So, there's many, many people this is going to help. And, you know, you should feel so, so proud of yourself. I'm proud of you. That's amazing. This is an amazing book to get.
Yeah, I do.
Besides this book, would you like to?
Can I pause? I'm assuming you can edit, because
I definitely can edit. It's not a problem.
Really need to get her out. Okay. So sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
I'm gonna pause it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm recording again, just so y'all know. So like we were talking about, this is going to help so many, so many people. There's many moms out there that just feel stuck. They feel like they want to throw their hands up because they just don't know what to do, where something like this can make them, bring them the comfort they need and know that, you know, there's other people in the same situation. And, you know, they can, once they learn to look at their situations with a different perspective, I think things will start changing for them. So that, I think this is well needed in today's society.
Yeah. And there's so many books out there that I have a passage in the book where I talk about parents experience the nightmare of sleep training their infant. And I, at one point, I think I had 6 different sleep books. I'd try some stuff in one book for 3 nights. Okay, that didn't work. And then I go to the next book and I try it. And I just ran myself into the, and I remember my mother, who's actually the mother of 10 children. And she would say, you know, eventually he's going to sleep. So just, you know, and I think at one point I just said, you know what, I'm going to stop trying. And it was when I stopped trying that, you know, I think there again is that frequency between mom and child, mom and baby. Right. I was so stressed out about getting this kid to sleep that I was probably stressing him out. And that's the irony of it. Again, you know, mom's heart frequency affecting her children. And so if I had been, you know, amount of time reading all those books and instead been meditating or loving on myself, I probably would have had, you know, much less tears and much less struggle as a mom.
Yeah. And those tears, we grow through them. So, you know, I look back and I think,
you know, here's,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking of myth number one. And that is, you know, always puts her child's needs first. And that's such a fallacy that you cannot possibly show up when you are depleted and you're always, and I did that with my first child because, you know, it's like,
I think we all do.
Your first kid and you want everything to be perfect. At least I did. And so I was there, you know, kind of picking up all the pieces all along the way. And he was only child for 4 years. So then 2 and 3 come along and you're like, gosh, I sanitized all the toys for kid one and kid
two. Kid 2 and 3
are, yeah. You know, they're kind of on their own. But I do remember, yeah, by kid 3, you're like, oh, you can do that yourself.
Yeah.
And I, you know, my mom, I said I had 10 or 9 siblings, and I had 9 siblings, the youngest of 10. And I remember my mom saying, oh, if he falls, you don't have to run to him right away. Just, you know, he'll figure it out. And I just thought, oh, that's so mean. And yet she was right, because when they're toddlers, the falls are, you know, a lot less than when my son started falling as a teenager. The repercussions were gigantic. And I, you know, in retrospect, I wish I had done less of the coddling when he was younger, so that he would have known how to bounce back and be more resilient. But we think as moms, like, I want to have his falls and make his life, you know, easier than, you know, my experience was. But it's a learning lesson that it's okay for your kid to experience bumps and falls.
That's where they learn their self-confidence. You know,
part of that's the process of growing.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose. And we as moms are like, no, I got to make it so easy for them. And really, we're hindering that. So yeah, I know. I reflect back a lot and I'm like, wow, you know, how I was as mom one versus mom 3. And it's like, okay, you know, I was totally different, but by 3, it was like, oh, she's got this, you know, no problem. And like with my first one, Kyle, I was constantly, I feel like, babying him, like, you know.
Right. And, you know, the more.
Go ahead.
Well, the more I let go, the, you know, the kind of the last step in my book is learning to let go, the more. Or at least my oldest child, and the ultimate letting go was last month. He moved out on his own. He's 18 now. And he has his own apartment. And you just think, is he ready for this? And I haven't had any phone calls in a month. And he's kind of, I know it's sort of that no news is good news kind of mentality that I have, that okay, maybe he's not returning messages right now, but at least I know that everything's okay. And he's figuring it out. And I could be hurt, like, oh, why isn't he replying to me? Or I could just say, okay, he's living his life path, and he's establishing his independence. And I'm not done. You're never done as a parent, but I'm releasing. I'm letting go, and I'm voting his victory, and I'm celebrating his success.
Yeah. And that's all we could do. And it is hard. You're right. That is.
And we can't let the past define us. You know, I mean, I could look back on past myself and say, oh no, he's doomed. He's been down a rough path. But instead, I have to just expect success. And that's a mindset thing. When we, see a kid as a delinquent and we expect something, guess what? We're going to keep seeing that. But I made a very conscious choice. I'm going to see him as successful. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm trusting that he's going to make it. And he might still have falls, but he has tools now that he didn't have before to help him recover backward.
Wow. Gina, do you mind if I ask you like a series of 10 questions? They're kind of like growing questions, but we all have gone through them. So what is the greatest lesson that you've ever learned?
Can you repeat that question?
Sure. What is the greatest lesson that you've ever learned?
You know, the greatest lesson I've learned is really, I say that my children are my greatest teachers. So I think the greatest lesson I've learned is that I'm not here to dictate and control my kids in that sort of authoritarian model of parenting that probably most of us were brought up with. It's my way or the highway, but just do it because I said so. That
I just want to give that. You a round
and it's, of applause. It's our programmed.
That was the best answer I think I've ever had. No, I love that answer. That was perfect. What are you learning now?
And it didn't come easily. What am I learning now? Oh gosh, I'm learning to just a lot about boundaries. And I remember laying on an energy worker's table 5 years ago. Uh-huh. And she's working on my chakras. And she's just like, you don't have any boundaries. And I sort of like squinted and said, I don't know what you mean. And she said, well, you don't have any boundaries. And I said, well, that's good, isn't it?
No.
She said, well, you need to protect your energy. And I didn't even know. It was like, I've always been this very flexible. I always say I'm flexible and adaptable, and that's like a quote. But what I discovered is I was just pouring myself out all over the place. And yes, let me give to you. Let me help you. And I became a single mom 4 years ago. It became very evident to me that I needed to protect this space and not give myself away. And so I found what I'm learning now is that I don't have to heal, fix, or change anybody. And I don't have to heal, fix, and change myself. I just myself and love the people around me just the way they are.
Yes. Wow.
And it's difficult. I'm in a profession of, I'm a fitness trainer and I work on healing bodies and I'm always fixing and changing things, but what the first step in a path of fitness was to just embrace yourself where you are on the journey, and you don't have to fix or heal anything. And so that's, I won't say I've got that down, but that's what I'm working on these days.
I'm totally digging your vibe right now. That is so great that these answers are just spot on.
Oh,
How has failure shaped your life?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you hear that next question?
You asked me what about shaping my life?
How has failure shaped your life? We must be cutting out. Okay, she must not have heard me. How has failure?
Yeah, that question count.
How has failure shaped your life?
Yeah, I was a very high achieving young girl. I was always the top of my class. Always, you know, tennis player, high achievement. So I had nothing, no other experience than success. And so I just envisioned my life as you are going to go and make a lot of money, be successful at whatever you do. And when I was, became a single mom and abruptly had to run a household by myself and lost, half of the household's income. And I was on welfare. And at one point, all three kids are, my kids are in therapy and like trying to do work here and there. But I just looked at my life and I said, how can this be? This woman who had so much going for her is now tanked at the bottom. And what I mean, everything would help. So that experience I had to go through to, I think to have learned that lesson of love yourself, no matter what, there's nothing you have to heal, fix, or change. Something on my soul's journey needed to learn that lesson, and going through that experience of literally having my son greet me with F you mom every single day for a long time and not taking it personally and saying, you know what, instead of getting angry in this moment, I'm going to love myself even
more. Yeah.
More today than I did the day before. And so that's how I flipped that feeling of failure, is just
right.
Shining more light.
So what I preach, what I kind of not preach, but what I like to think of is failure is our teacher. We learn from as long as we're getting back up and we're still, still going to finish, to the finish line, we never fail. It's just a teacher. We learn all the way through. So, we're taught as babies don't give up. I mean, there's so many, as adults, we give up now. And, we're like, oh, I'm not good at this. Babies fall how many times walking? Do they give up? Do they give up and just say, I'm not going to walk anymore? No, they never give up because, society hasn't hit them with everything yet. It's not till later in the years that, everything gets introduced to you. To me, I just look at them as teachers. So, that's what I think about failure.
Yeah. And that was a big perspective shift for me too, as a mother too. And my first introduction to that was being at a book called The Awakened Family by Dr. Shefali Sawberry. And she has a lot of parenting books, but that was the first time I heard the concept that my kids are here to teach me. I thought I was the teacher. And it's very humbling because they are, in my mind, closer to the divine, the younger they are, mm-hmm. and they have so much wisdom.
This next one's perfect for this episode. What have you read that I should read?
What have I read?
This I have lead into your book.
So many books. I guess about the read that I would recommend. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I highly recommend You Are a Super Mom.
There you go. But go on.
Of course. And I'm partnering it right now. And there's value in this book for a man. I one of the most beautiful books on me. It was my very first Audible download. I've already mentioned Nat Khan, the Whatever Arises. Okay. That book on mine is so, the pages are so worn because it's a reference book that I go back to every time I'm pushing against my upper limit and those self-sabotage in my life, I say, okay, it's time to read The Big Leap again and expand my field so that I can get beyond my limiting beliefs. And they're probably my two most, and of course, I mean, you can't go wrong with Rumi, the essentials of Rumi, and that's an ancient writing. But I love taking my Rumi book and just saying, okay, Rumi, what do you have to say to me today? And seeing what message, and it always seems to just tap right into
what you need. Oh, right on.
What I needed to hear.
Right. Well, who do you know that I should know?
Good question. I don't know him personally. One day I hope to meet Panache Desai. I have been doing his free call to calm meditations. He began them at the start of the pandemic at March 17th.
Yeah, okay.
And he gets on and does a 20-minute meditation. They started out on YouTube and now he does them on Zoom. It's like my body just, okay, 1 o'clock, it's time to go meditate. And he just doing those meditations every day has solidified my meditation practice. And that's when I say there's nothing that needs to be healed, fixed, or changed. He's the concept of, oh, like I'm okay. The way I am is okay. So that would be a person. And I think everybody needs to know my mom and dad because they are like superheroes. They raised 10 children.
That is,
and I need to write their memoirs because I don't think they're 90 and 86 now.
Oh wow.
But they they've weathered so many storms, and my dad's 90th birthday was just a couple weeks ago, and we had a big surprise party for him, and he, you know, the room is full of people that love him, and he's just standing there like, what did I do to deserve this? And I'm like, oh my goodness, he doesn't even see, you know, the value of him and all that he's done. So that feeling of humility, that if you ask him how he had a successful business, he had his own business, raised 10 children, put us all through college. And he just says, I just did what I had to do. I had 10 mouths to feed.
Aww.
So yeah, a person to get to know.
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, Gina, how can I add value to you?
What's of value to me?
I said, how can I add value to you?
How can you add value to me? Gosh. Everybody sharing, and the book, I want to be real clear. It's not about me promoting me. It's about putting a message out into the universe that moms, it's okay to put yourself first. You're not selfish for doing it. And here's why. And here's how you're going to raise the vibration of the whole planet. Because when you take care of you, you go into your true divine feminine essence. And when you're doing, you know, there's the yin and the yang. Uh-huh. And the yang energy, we've burnt that out, mamas. Like you've done enough. You've probably overdone. Stepping into more of that yin role of, there's a quote I read I was taught a yoga class to a bunch of moms yesterday. And the quote is something like, you know, sit up, sit on your regal throne, goddess, and appreciate your life. And know that you've done enough. And that's really where I'd love to see women just adoring their life.
Mm.
And I often question, what's your best quality? What's your superpower? And I find that women really struggle to find the answer. They'll say things like, oh, I get stuff. Oh, I'm a multitasker. Oh, and I'm like, you're telling me what you do. Who are you? And that, you know, that would be high value to me is share this message that moms, you are enough. And if you're not sure about that, it's a 125-page quick read, and you'll see examples of how I found my enoughness in some very challenging circumstances.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. I will share this message, and I will definitely share this book that came out. If you were given the opportunity to create a billboard that the entire world would see, what would it say?
Slowing down is the new fitness.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
Because I'm a fitness background. That's my background.
Right, right.
And I've spent most of my career racing around, because that's how we get fit. No pain, no gain. And what I have found is do meditation practice more often, you know, recover, restorative yoga. I teach restorative yoga. That is where your power source is. It's not in the busy racing around. And Americans are so programmed to see how much we can get. That's called a good successful day, as I've got all my list of things to do. And what if a successful day was just being content with how things are and feeling like you are enough? And that can only happen when we slow down and allow the divine to work through us.
100%. Wow. You are right on the money on so much today. I'm digging it. I really am. I'm like, wow, this is great.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, Gina, this is really all I have for today. I totally appreciate what I want from you is if you can let my listeners know how they can get a hold of you, where they can get the book, just, you know, promote yourself, you know, put yourself out there.
Yeah, well, the book on and also Barnes & Noble's websites. And I am actually going to be offering just a free kind of a book club initially where we dive deeper into the book.
Okay.
And I call it feel Like a Supermom During Challenging Times. And it's just a 4-part masterclass series. I'll be running that. I don't know when this is being, September 27th to the 30th, I'm doing my first run, but I will continue to do that so that as people get the book and read it, they can have, you know, a little extra support. Because in my mind, it's one thing to read a book, but it's another thing to implement the steps. And you get to implement them with the author. How cool is that? And then that will eventually lead into what I'm calling the Thriving Moms Academy, which isn't open yet, but
that's
the goal.
Awesome.
By January of 22, we will have the Thriving Moms Academy. And that is where you can experience fitness on a number of different levels with me. And there's, you know, I've done the gym-based fitness for many, many years, but there's, you know, the soul fitness, the emotional fitness. And so within Thriving Moms, we can focus on elements of fitness each month and, you know, have kind of our private group experience and in short snippets, because I know moms, like I'm just going to be honest, I don't typically practice yoga for more than 20 minutes a day, because that's what I've got luxury to go to an hour class. And so I, you know, that's my goal, is to create something that's attainable and for moms to follow and integrate into their days. So, and my website is ginafontaine.com, and that's free. You can find the information on what I have going on.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. Gina, this was so great. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Julie, for taking the time to talk.
You're so very welcome. I'm very blessed to have met you. I'm going to real quick just end this real quick, but stay on the line if you don't mind.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. This has been great. And again, life is about balance. Be kind, but, you know, don't let people abuse you. Trust, but don't be deceived. And be content, but never give up on improving yourself. This is the Semi-Balanced Podcast. I'll see you next week. Bye.